Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Never have our minds been as blown on One Hit Thunder as when we dove into the life and career of Michael Penn. From his famous Siblings to his work on landmark films, Michael's story couldn't be further from the norm. But don't even think about throwing the nepotism accusation around here. Penn is the real deal. This week, we dive into his catalog and discover that it's no myth that Michael Penn is undeniable thunder.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
All right, Matt, we're here to talk about Michael Penn's No Myth, which when you told me we were doing this episode, I was like, I don't know that song. And you're like, it's the Romeo and Black Jeans song. I'm like, I still don't know what that song is. But I swear that upon repeated listenings to this, I don't know if it's just because I really like the song now or it spawned a memory somewhere deep in my brain. I feel like I know it now. I feel like I already did.
Do you want to know how I first heard the song? Because I thought the song was a lot newer than it actually ended up being.
Yeah.
So this song, my first connection with this song, actually ties back to a different musician that I podcast with. No Myth by Michael Penn is the closing song of the Jason Biggs movie Loser that featured Teenage Dirtbag. And I used to watch that movie constantly. So I thought that that was like, I didn't think it was like a song that was written for the movie because it's not like describing the plot line. But it was weird to have like all of this modern music. And then it just ends with a song that's like 11 years old. Right. So I just always assumed it was like a fairly new song because that movie didn't do well. You know, like Loser was not a hit. So I remember the first time going into like a CVS and hearing the song playing on the radio, being really confused. I had no clue that this song actually like was a known charting hit. Like I thought that it was just some obscure song from an obscure teen flick that no one remembered. And then I did the research and was like, shit, not only was this like, this was like a top 20 hit. Like, yeah. This isn't like one of those ones where it's like, oh, well, you know, it peaked at 38, but like that just barely squeaks by. Like, this was a bona fide 1983 hit.
1989.
That I had no, 89. Or yes, 1989, that I had like no clue was a song that anybody knew. And then our Patreon voted on it. So like,
well, dude,
shout out to them.
You kind of alluded to this, but I don't think this song sounds like it's from 1989 at all. I feel like this song could come out right now and I'd be like, oh, that's a cool song. It's timeless as hell.
It's timeless as hell. This song almost to me would make more sense if you were like, yeah, this came out at the same time as like John Mayer's first album and like more of that like kind of folky pop rock sound of the late 90s, early 2000s. I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Like that makes so much more sense to me than 1989. But I do want to talk about something that I alluded to. So I had no clue until this morning that Michael Penn's last name was a very clear indication of who he was related to.
Yeah, right?
I had zero clue.
My mind was blown like five different times during the research for this episode, for sure.
I think we're going to get into a few of it, because there was like one or two things where I read something and was like, ooh, Chris got excited when he read that sentence.
Yeah.
Dude did the soundtrack to one of your favorite movies of all time.
I mean, he's in the movie.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But let's start by saying the dude is Sean Penn's brother.
Yeah.
That's the first thing we have to say is Michael Penn is Sean. And then when you look at him, you're like, oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget the late Chris Penn was also a Penn brother. You would know him. He was a character actor. He's in Reservoir Dogs, True Romance.
I was going to say Reservoir Dogs.
Footloose, Rush Hour. Yeah, you would know him from those.
I think the funniest of the Penns, honestly. I feel like he did way more comedic roles.
He was funny. He was good.
This is the only negative thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to get it out right now. The only thing where I went, oh, there's a little bit of nepotism there, is that this dude performed as the musical guest on SNL in 1987, 2 years before he had an album, when Sean Penn was the host. And that's right. they ain't knocking on the door for Punchline to just show up and play on SNL. But
there were two guests that night. There were two musical guests that night.
Yeah.
Do you know who the other one was?
No, who was the other one?
LL Cool J.
So LL Cool J had to give up one of his songs so that Sean Penn's brother could perform a song that no one knew?
Yeah, that is kind of messed up now that you put it that way. LL Cool J was a legit star. Michael Penn.
He only got to play Mama Said Knock You Out and nothing else?
I don't know what song he played that night.
I'm just guessing. That's 87 seems about correct for that one. But yeah, or radio. He played something, but...
Well...
He could have played Big Old Butt, but didn't get a second performance.
Nepotism aside, luckily, much like we talk about the Strokes, lucky for them and lucky for Michael Penn, they're actually good. He's actually
really good.
Really, really good. One of the first things I noticed, and I made a note of this, did you watch the music video for this song, Matt?
I didn't. I should have.
Well, I can tell you a few things about it. First of all, Michael Penn, at this point in 1989, this is how I describe him. He looks like if Timothée Chalamet was playing one of the Tears for Fears guys in a biopic about the band. That's my best way.
I'm keeping it on silent, but I am going to pull up the video just to kind of get a little bit of a visual idea of what you're talking about here.
And I have to note this. In the music video, there's a guy playing keys. I think it's a Chamberlain, I think it's called.
Yes, it is. Yep.
He looks exactly like Fred Armisen. Like Fred Armisen playing a character of a guy from a band from 1989. It's crazy.
Like a Portlandia sketch?
Yes, it looks like a
the
Portlandia
other guy
sketch.
In Michael Penn's music video.
Dude.
Oh, yep. No, one. He just showed up in this video and I see it.
Isn't it crazy?
That is a spot on comparison. Same with the Timothée Chalamet. You actually nailed it on both of these
right?
guys.
That's Patrick Warren, by the way. That's Patrick Warren over there on the Chamberlain.
And that's kind of that's not an instrument that you hear pop up in a lot of stuff. It's kind of cool. It adds that cool little sound to the chorus. So something that jumped out at me again, this is an artist that like I said, I vaguely knew the song because of a failed teen comedy from the year 2000. You had no recollection of the song until a week or two ago, but this dude won MTV Video Music Awards Best New Artist for 1990. Beat it. Do you know who he beat out?
Well, you already told me one of them beforehand. It's one that I love and I want to do a One Hit Thunder about. It's Jane Child.
This was a stacked chart that he was up against. He beat out Belle Biv DeVoe.
Whoa.
Lenny Kravitz.
Ooh.
Alana Miles. Lisa Stansfield.
Stansfield, yeah.
Stansfield. See, this is why you're here. And the Black Crowes were all also nominees that he beat out for Best New Artist.
There's a lot of people in the category. I don't remember
nominees. So I did so much research on Best New Artist, Chris, that I came up with not one but two games for us to play real
love
quick.
Love a game.
So the first game is, did this person win Best New Artist?
Ooh, okay, here we
here
go.
Here we go. Cyndi Lauper.
No way.
She did not win. two of her songs were nominated in that category. She was nominated for both Time After Time and Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
As she should be.
She was nominated along with Madonna's Borderland and Wang Chung's Dance Hall Days, but they all lost to Sweet Dreams by the Euphorics.
Wow. That would be Borderline by Madonna, and that would be Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics.
The Eurythmics, yes.
Not Borderland and the, what did you call them?
People know what they're signing up for. Yeah. Okay. Whitney Houston.
I would say, yeah, she's such a talent.
Whitney Houston did not win.
Wow.
Best New Artist. The song that was nominated was How Will I Know? She was nominated with The Hooters and We Danced, The Pet Shop Boys, West End Girls, and Simply Red, Holding Back the Years. But they lost to A-ha's Take on Me for Best New Artist.
Wow. A-ha. I mean, those were all great. And how was anyone to know A-ha wouldn't follow that up with another hit? But
yeah,
still.
No, for sure. Guns N' Roses.
Jeez, it's hard to think that this is Best New Artist at the Grammys, right?
No, the MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, Video Music Awards. Yes, I bet you they won.
They did. And man, boy, was it ever stiff competition, Chris, because they were up against Buster Poindexter and Swing Out Sister.
Oh, wow. I like Swing Out Sister, but.
I do too, but that is not, that's a not really a nail biter by any stretch of the imagination. Nirvana.
Wow. This is so hard. I would say no, they didn't.
They did win. Smells Like Teen Spirits won. They beat out Arrested Development's Tennessee, Tori Amos's Silent All These Years, and Cracker's Teen Angst.
Okay. If I would have known who they were up against, I would have said yes.
Yeah. That's part of the fun of the game, Chris. Yeah. Green Day.
No.
Green Day did not win. This was a good-ass category. So they lost to Counting Crows' Mr. Jones.
Okay.
But their song Longview was nominated alongside Lisa Loeb's Stay, Bjork Human Nature or Human Behavior, and Beck Loser.
Wow. Like,
what a great year for music in general, just based on those being the new artists that are nominated,
That is Chris Fafalius right there in a category. Counting Crows, Green Day, Bjork, Beck, and what was the one other one?
Lisa Loeb.
Oh, yeah, I like Lisa Loeb. But the other four,
Stay was a fucking jam.
So in the Best New Artist category, you're getting nominated for a specific song?
For a specific song. There was only one year that it was just the artist without a song attached to it. It was very weird.
Interesting.
So I'm going to go with one of your Pittsburgh alumni, Christina Aguilera.
Okay. Man, that was really in the thick of, like, I would say no.
She did not win.
Yeah.
What a Girl Once was the song that she was nominated with, but she lost to past episode Macy Gray, I Try.
Oh.
Beat her out for Best New Artist. She was also nominated alongside Papa Roach's Last Resort, Pink's There You Go, and another song we've discussed, Cisco's The Thong Song.
Wow, okay.
And then the last one for this game, Drake.
Oh, he had to. He had to.
He did not.
Wow.
The Best I Ever Had was the song he was nominated for,
great
but he
song.
Lost... He lost to Lady Gaga's Poker Face. And then listen to the other stiff competition that they were up against that year. Asher Roth's I Love College, Kid Cudi's Day and Night, and 303's Don't Trust Me.
Okay. All right. I like Kid Cudi.
Yeah, Kid Cudi's good.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code onehit50, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hey, One Hit Thunders, Thunderheads, Thunder Buns. All right, I'll just go with One Hit Thunder listeners. This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song that they have written. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites such as Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu, and even some of the artists that have been featured on One Hit Thunder. The show is even produced by One Hit Thunder host Chris Fafalius. What more could you possibly ask for? Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday. I guarantee you'll like it, or we'll give you your money back.
The second game that I wanted to play real quick, this is still a category at the MTV Video Music Awards. Do you know who the last five winners of it were? So this would be 2018, 2019, 2020, 21, and 22.
Okay. Oh, of the best new artist?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Who are some new artists? Olivia Rodrigo?
She won in 2021.
Okay. Got one of them. Oh, geez. Who are some more new artists? Kacey Musgraves?
No. So that's your first buzzer, but I will give you this hint. It's all women that have won the category. So.
Okay. Oh, Billie Eilish?
Billie Eilish won it in 2019.
Okay, I got two. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Out of all of the artists in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good that you got two on your third try.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, this is... I'm thinking so hard right now.
Only one of them I've never heard of.
Oh. Would it be like Cardi B?
Cardi B won in 2018.
I got three of them.
Yeah, so you just need the 2020 and the 2022.
Oh, wow. Wow, I can't believe I got three out of five.
And only one wrong so far.
Yeah. So, would it be, what's her name? Kiss Me More. Doja Cat?
Doja Cat was 2020.
Yes!
So dude, the only remaining one, I'm just going to give you the 2022 because I have no clue who this artist is. I'm officially too old. Do you know who Dove Cameron is?
I don't. I would have never got that.
Yeah, I know. I figured you... I was like, I have no clue who this artist is. Dude. Apparently, they had a hit last year with Boyfriend. But
I did pretty good.
That's a damn... You did a fucking fantastic job on that. I was... Not anticipating that.
That was
anyway,
the complete opposite of when you did the...
My Belgium artist.
The Belgium artist.
To be fair, yours was a little bit easier. It was name five artists that are famous from the last couple of years.
Well, I guess.
Famous enough for MTV to recognize their existence.
I guess. All right. You want to talk about Michael Penn some more?
So back to Michael Penn. So his second album, this I thought was really interesting. His second album comes out, Free For All. And simultaneously, he's already being labeled a one-hit wonder, but the album is like a critical smash.
Right.
Like the critics are like, this dude is such, like, it almost felt like the way that I read it was like that almost the critics were like, this shit is too good for him to ever have another hit. Like,
right. Like too heady.
He's just not a radio guy.
Right. And that's fine. He had his hit. If he wants to make cool music that is critically acclaimed, like
what's wrong with that? I mean, yeah. And he's already Sean Penn's brother. He's probably not hurting for cash.
And he was regularly releasing albums pretty much up until 2007. Like, he put out a decent handful of albums, but then we talked about this. Then he angled his way into being a composer for film. And dude. I mean, I like a couple of these movies that he did, right? Like, he did the score for the Comedians of Comedy documentary. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's worth checking out. It's Patton Oswalt, Brian Posehn, Zach Galifianakis, and Marie Bamford. Okay. And they went on a tour together called the Comedians of Comedy, making fun of the Kings of Comedy.
Gotcha.
He did the score for The Last Kiss, which was one of Zach Braff's movies. Did the music for the TV show Masters of Sex on Showtime. Worked on Good Girls. But the biggest thing, the thing that like we need to talk about, is in 1996 and 1997, he did the score for two PTA movies. Most importantly, Boogie Nights, one of Chris's like what five favorite movies of all
it's
time.
It's probably my second favorite behind Dazed and Confused movie ever. Yeah, and he's not only did he do the score, which is it's very recognizable. It's like the song that would play during like the DVD menu and it pops up in the movie. But he's in the movie as the engineer when Dirk Diggler is recording his album, which is by far like I mean, there's lots of funny parts in that movie, but that has to be the funniest part.
It's either that or anytime you see like the buddy cop thing that he's filming with John C. Reilly. Like those are the highlights in that movie for me. Talk about a movie that is 3 hours long, but does not feel its length even a little bit. Like that movie just fucking moves from start to finish. It's my favorite PTA movie, like no competition.
I got a buddy who's a film snob who like doesn't think that Boogie Nights is the best, and he really loved that the newest one when we were recording
Licorice Pizza,
and I was like,
that did not do it for me, dude. That movie made me uncomfortable in not the way I think it was supposed to.
It was okay.
It was fine, but when that was like nominated for Best Picture, I was like, this is so low ranking on like PTA's movies in my mind. But I don't know. The only other one that I've loved as much as Boogie Nights was that Punch Drunk Love movie, because it was so interesting to see Adam Sandler play at that time so dramatically against type. But
Boogie Nights, man, it's just the greatest. And the fact that Michael Penn had something to do with that was one of the first things that, I mean, after Sean Penn's brother.
Yeah, you follow that up with that piece of information, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The man can't be stopped.
Then he produced and then married Amy Mann,
and then produced Liz Phair and Wallflowers releases.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Pretty incredible. I watched another one of his music videos for this song called Try. It's also an awesome song. And in the music video, Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it as like his roadie. He's like walking and like singing to the camera, and Philip Seymour Hoffman's like running in and out of the shot, like giving him his guitar and like holding a microphone up for him and stuff. And it's just, this guy is so cool. I also watched a performance, you can YouTube this, of Michael and Amy performing the Beach Boys' I Just Wasn't Made for These Times. It's just unbelievable. Like, so, so good. It was at a tribute to Brian Wilson.
He's got to be the coolest Penn brother, right? I feel like that's what I've walked away from this thinking.
Yeah, Sean Penn's pretty cool, but
But I don't know. I feel like if I could only hang out with one Penn brother and Chris Penn, even if Chris Penn was still alive, I'd be like, I kind of want to hang out with Michael Penn.
Yeah.
He just seems like a chill ass dude to hang out with.
Hey, one thing that's really going to interest you, Matt, do you know who produced the song No Myth?
I do not. Who did?
So it's produced by Tony Berg. And Tony Berg, oh man, here we go. Matt's about to get excited. He was a session guitarist, and he was on notable releases from the following: Air Supply, Debbie Boone, the Rocky Horror Picture Show LP, and several Muppet Show records.
I was going to say he probably did the Muppets.
Yep.
As soon as you said Rocky Horror, I was like, I bet he did some Muppets.
And also notable about Tony Berg is then he went on to become an A&R guy for Geffen, and he played a role in signing both Beck and At the Drive-In.
Yo, so the dude's got good taste. Yeah, I love it. Let's talk about when this song charted for a quick second, because again, blew me away that this peaked at 13 on March 24th, 1990 was when this thing hit its peak. And again, top 10, not as tasty as last week's in my eyes, but still a pretty tasty top 10 here. We got at number 10, Technotronic with Get Up.
Get up, get up, get busy. I want to see you party. Okay.
Number 9, we had Madonna's Keep It Together.
Keep it together in the family. Yeah, good song.
Number 8, I'm a huge Billy Joel fan, and I barely remember this song. No! I go to extremes.
You don't remember that one?
No.
Living and I don't know why I go to extremes. You don't know that one? It's like his most rocking song.
That's probably why. I want my Joel just a piano and a cigarette somewhere.
All right.
Number 7, I massacred her name once, and I'll probably do it again here. Lisa Stansfield with All Around the World.
Been around the world and I can't find my baby. Yeah, that's a good song.
Number 6, Tommy Page, I'll Be Your Everything.
Yeah, okay, so I didn't remember this song from the time, but when you listen to it, you're like, oh, this makes sense. He wrote the song with a couple of the New Kids on the Block. It sounds exactly like a New Kids on the Block ballad. And then I guess on the YouTube, people were like talking a lot of shit on this song because people were like, stop saying terrible things about it. Like, he actually committed suicide in 2017. But I guess people were just like talking shit on the song, you know, like, because it is a... Yeah. It is a cheesy ass like New Kids.
I think it's
song.
On our long list. Like, I think when I send people a long list, I think it's his only hit. Then we had, so now we're entering the top 5 here. Number 5, not my favorite by Phil, but Phil Collins, I Wish It Would Rain Down.
Oh, no, I wish it would rain now. You don't like that? I like that one.
It's all right, but I mean, it's no studio.
Right. Studio.
number 4, the B-52s, Rome.
I love Rome.
Rome is fucking great. And I think people forget, like, that's another one where every once in a while people will be like, you should do Love Shack by the B-52s. And it's like, dude, Rome wasn't just like, oh, the Love Shack was a hit and then Rome like kind like Rome was a big song.
Love Rome. Rome's on my playlist, my songs that move me playlist that has like 1,000 songs on it. I love Rome.
It's so good. Your girl at number 3, yep. Janet Jackson with
Jeez. You can't mess up. You can't mess up that name. Janet Jaskin. Janet Jaskin. Get the hell out of here. You can just call her Janet. We know who she is. Yeah. Janet Jaskin.
Any feelings on Escapade?
I love Escapade. It's great.
I mean, fucking ballad of the decade. Number 2, wow. Taylor Dane's Love Will Lead You Back.
Love Will Lead You Back. Yeah, it's good.
I feel like that song was in about 14 different compilation CD commercials.
Yeah.
Like, and then this song peaked the same day that Black Velvet hit number 1 for the first time. Right. So, you know. Good
Michael,
times. Good
Michael
times
Penn
on
and
the
Black Velvet. Hey, I always, you know, I always make notes of the ones that are also in the charts to give us perspective. And number 40 at this time, Heart of the Matter from Don Henley. Such a good song. And number 33, one we did on One Hit Thunder. Nothing Compares to You was on the way up.
Rising the ranks.
Yep.
Watch out, Black Velvet. Sinead's on the way.
Sinead's on the way. And number 28 was How Can We Be Lovers by Michael Bolton. Good song.
Which was on its way down, I think.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple other one-hit wonder things on here. Like number 24, I Want to Be Rich. It's crazy that I Want to Be Rich was on the charts at the same time as this No Myth song and Black Velvet. That just doesn't register in my head for some reason. And number 18 was Just a Friend from Biz Markie.
Good-ass song.
And number 15, I would have thought this song was earlier than it is, but it was Here and Now by Luther Vandross. Do you know that song?
No, when you said Here and Now, I thought for sure you were going to say Letters to
Cleo. No. Afterwards. I like that song too. That's the song that goes, but da 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 da, you know, right? Doesn't she do that thing in that song?
Yeah.
No, Here and Now, if you went to a wedding, I went to lots of my aunt's weddings. My mom has 6 sisters, so I went to a lot of weddings as a kid, and they always played this Luther Vandross song at them. It goes, Here and now, I promise to love faithfully.
Oh, I do know this. Yes.
Yeah, you know it. You're all I need. And the one other song, so No Myth was at number 13. One above that at number 12, we got to do a One Hit Thunder about this song, was Don't Want to Fall in Love by Jane Child. Now, for anyone who doesn't know Jane Child. She famously has the craziest hair of all time. And she also has a nose ring and an earring that are connected by a chain. She's just crazy looking.
But Janet, I think, did that in one of her later videos in like the mid-90s.
Yeah,
I want to say
did.
Like the Together Again video or something, or Runaway.
Runaway, I think. That makes sense. Yeah. But this Jane Child song, it's the song that goes, "Don't wanna fall in love." I don't know. You'd have to hear it. It's kind of like dancey, but it's like a pop dancey song, but it's great. And she's kind of like a badass. She feels like the predecessor to Pink or something, you know?
I could see that. Yeah, looking at pictures and everything, I 1,000% see that.
Yeah. Jane Child is pop with an attitude, for sure.
This song, I mean, the only other thing, do we really need to talk about the lyrics too much? I do want to call out that I do think that this chorus is a fucking great chorus. Like, yeah. It's like one of those ones that gets it, although I don't under, obviously, like, if I was Romeo in black jeans, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a modern day Romeo, essentially. Mm-hmm. Heathcliff, it's no myth, is the line that I don't understand, because I hear Heathcliff and I think of
the cat
opposite of Garfield.
I knew that's the cat. I knew you would think of the cat. I think he's referring to...
Is that another literary thing that I'm missing?
I would guess he's referring to just as Kate Bush referred to Heathcliff in the song Wuthering Heights. I believe he's referring to the character in Wuthering Heights.
This is where I announce that I have never read Wuthering Heights. Sorry,
Wuthering Heights, but yes.
Every time I'm like, why is he singing about Heathcliff?
Heathcliff song, terrorize the neighborhood. Do you remember the
only
Heathcliff
thing I remember about
song?
Heathcliff was that he would put a fish in his mouth and just pull out bones.
Yes. That's how I eat fish too. Heathcliff, terrorize the neighborhood.
Could you imagine?
You know that song?
I remember the song vaguely. Yeah. Listeners, let me know if you're someone who preferred Heathcliff
to Garfield
over Garfield. Explain yourself. Like, I want to know.
Heathcliff was like the punk rock Garfield. He like hung out. He like had friends that like hung out in a dump, and he like ate fish. And
they were the gutter punks. They were the gutter punks to Garfield's new wave music.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, Heathcliff was just punk rock Garfield.
All right, so I feel like we've done nothing but shower praise on Michael Penn, so I don't even think we really need to officially do the Thunder Blunder here.
Well,
people check out Michael Penn. Like, check out this dude's music and watch Boogie Nights tonight.
Yeah, and I exclusively wear black jeans. I don't wear blue jeans. I exclusively wear black jeans, so I like to think of myself as the Romeo in black jeans of the modern age. So thanks, Michael Penn.
Learn your lesson.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Play off the Punchline album Rewind EP. Visit punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and news. We're on Patreon now. Become a patron and get bonus content, early episodes, and a chance to vote on future episodes at patreon.com/OHTpodcast. Do you want to start a podcast? Contact Chris and myself at weknowpodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
You got a girl. This is right now. This is forever. Whoa. This is right now. This is forever. Count the rest of now. This is right now. This is forever. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.